Today is June 7th, Sunday morning at Shari Tefillah, our class in Mishnah, Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Chapter 1, Mishnah 9. One of our members, Paul Geller, just lost his brother David, so we'll dedicate our learning in the memory of David Geller Zal. So, let's read the Mishnah. Chapter 1, Mishnah 9, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Tet of
Chapter 1, Masechet
Rosh Hashanah. That's the bottom of page 313 in the Albic printing. The bottom of page 313.
313.
Yeah. The very bottom. And it says there, you have the Tet in the left-hand margin. Mi shera'a et ha-chodesh. Veino yechol lahalech. Molichin oto al ha-chamor. We'll stop there. So we'll translate. Mi shera'a et ha-chodesh. Someone who saw the chodesh. And here the word chodesh, although it could certainly mean month, it also means moon. And it's really the same thing, because the month is a function of the moon. And even in English, they're two words from the same root. So someone who saw the chodesh, which to be more exact means halivana b'chidusho, b'chidusha. Someone who saw the moon in its beginning, right? It doesn't mean you saw it in the middle of the month. Saw it when it first appeared in the sky as a sliver. Veino yechol lahalech. And he can't walk. Right? And why can't he walk?
Maybe he
might be sick. He might be tired. He might be just too far away, right? Yeah. The Beit Din is in Yerushalayim. After the Chorban, the Beit Din moved to Yavne. Later, the Beit Din was in the Galil, in Usha, in Pekiin, in Beit Sha'arim. He might be too far away to walk. So, or sick. So, mulichinoto ala chamor. We walk him on the chamor.
A donkey.
And a donkey. Notice the word mulichin, that's the causative of the word lahalech. By the way, in modern Hebrew, we don't say lahalech, we say lalechet. It's the same root, the same word, a different form of the infinitive.
It's unbelievable that they would do that. They carry him or
put him on the donkey, right? Put him on the donkey.
For such a long distance.
And what would you say? We would say lahavir in modern Hebrew. Or something to transport him.
Yeah, but so when Reuven says it's unbelievable, what's really unbelievable here? What do you mean it's unbelievable? That someone would go on a donkey? A lot of people go on donkeys. All the time people walk on donkeys.
We would be able to do such a thing. That we would be able to, we would have the actual capability of bringing somebody that far who's not well.
What do you mean capability?
I don't know.
Physical capability, again, people couldn't.
What if he's on a bed? He can't.
We didn't get to that yet, right?
Oh, that we would go so much out of our way to do. I guess that's the part that's.
Okay, so let's ask ourselves questions. Is it only that we would go so far out of our way for a Edut HaChodesh, or is something else going on here?
Oh, it's something one more, of these months.
It's something more unbelievable. Chiyuv.
Obligation.
A chiyuv when?
Oh, every month. It's not only...
Every month.
It's not only the 2 months. It's not only Nisan.
But
and
more than that. Live for you.
Excuse me.
It doesn't matter just for before Rosh Hashanah, you mean?
Not just before Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
But there's more going on here. If you have to go back to what we learned last week and the week before, all of the Mishnah we've been looking at are talking about one particular day of the week.
Shabbat. Right.
But the point is that we put him on the donkey and he comes on the donkey to Jerusalem, to Yavne, to the court, afilu on Shabbat.
Shabbat, yeah.
Although the Mishnah doesn't mention it, but you're getting it from the context.
From the context. We'll talk about the context a little bit later. The point is not just molichino tol chamor, the point is afilu b'shabbat. Okay, then it says afilu b'mita, which means we have to hook up some type of device, perhaps it's an agala, and a cart drawn by a donkey, which this sick person, this older person, perhaps an invalid, someone who's disabled, if he saw the new moon and no one else saw it, or even perhaps if others did see it, like we learned it, even 40 witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
Might go. So he goes even Bamita. And again, even on Shabbat.
You're going to talk about... it's obvious that it's Shabbat from the context? Or you're going to... Okay.
We'll talk about it.
Okay.
Vim sodelehem, Lokhin biadam maklot. Bim sode lehem, and I won't define that word right now. Lokhin biadam maklot. What are maklot?
Sticks.
Exhibit number one. No, Mr. Galler, I saw in the newspaper a few weeks ago, they have a whole course that they give older people how to defend yourself with your cane.
Defend with a cane, yeah. Maybe I should take that course.
You should never have to use it.
You probably don't need it. You can defend yourself without the course. So they take in their hands maklot, which in this case truly does mean sticks. Largely defined, it means weapons. Uh-huh. And why would we emphasize they can take weapons? Because it's Shabbat.
Oh, right.
Not only can you walk michutz l'tum, outside of the tum Shabbat, right? You can also take a weapon with you, which is a matter of tiltul, of carrying. Right? You can carry a weapon with you. But what we didn't define is, what does it mean?
Ve'im sodeh lehem. Don't disturb the class.
I have already disturbed the class.
It was my fault. Okay. I was my fault.
Okay. Imsodelehem. What does it mean, imsodelehem?
Is it hunt? Hunt?
Said.
Food.
Eric points out that we know the word sodeh like a mitsuda.
Yeah.
Or tseida. A mitsuda is a net.
Yeah.
Catch fish. Right? Or tseida is hunting.
A bagel. Does that mean a bagel?
A bagel?
It refers to animals.
Oh, this is, so that means animal food, you mean?
No, not food, but if...
Hunting.
If it's hunted to them, what would that mean, if it's hunted to them? How would you say that in better English?
If they were hunted.
If they were hunted.
If they were searched down, if they were...
They're played.
Tracked?
So Mr. Galler looked in the commentary of Hanuch Albeck. So look, Mr. Galler is again ahead of us, but that's good. And the third line from the end of the page in the commentary, the middle line, is the Dibur Matril Tzodeh Lehem. And Professor Albeck says, Eima Lehem. And Eima means fear. So he says that Tzodeh means fear. If there's fear to them, kagon shem mityarim mipnei achayot. For example, they are mityarim, language of yira. Mipnei achayot. What are chayot?
The animals.
The animals.
Animals.
And that was very common in Eretz Yisrael, going back 2,000 years ago. There were, just like the Wizard of Oz, there were lions and tigers and bears. Yeah. Yes, there really were lions and tigers and bears. Lots of bears.
Wow.
And sometimes the drachim were dangerous.
What's happened since? I mean, have they been put in zoos or?
They're gone. They're extinct.
They've become extinct.
I think that as late as the 1920s and 30s, there are records of bears roaming wild in Eretz Yisrael.
Wow.
They're gone. What we have, all that's left today, is the lions of En Gedi.
Uh-huh.
Right. There are still, I think, is it the tigers? I think it's the tigers. A certain breed of tigers are still found, like very few, in the Midbar Yehuda, and some of them may have an En Gedi, but it's extremely, extremely rare.
If you didn't know, but there's panthers here in Texas, panthers in East Texas, literally.
I didn't know.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
Because I know somebody who converted, family converted, moved to Israel. He says there's. He's seen panthers.
I think it's converted from panther to lion or from panther to two.
Well, there's less danger today from wild animals.
There's less danger.
Yeah.
So now I want to look at the commentary of Rashi on that phrase, Im Tzodeh Lehem. And Rashi, I brought for us on the extra sheet, the sources. Right, Rashi? Mr. Galavan, see Rashi.
Oh, it's right there.
Yeah. This is Rashi in his commentary on the Talmud, and of course the Talmud includes the Mishnah and the Gemara. So you see the second Dibur Matril there, it says, Vim Sodelehem. Im Yesh Urvim Vederech. Kamo Vatat Sodet Nafshi. So what is Orvim? Anyone know the...
Ambushers.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
If there are ambushers b'derech on the way, and says Rashi Kamo, atatzodet nafshi, you're hunting my soul, which I think the context Shaul. Is, right, David and Shaul. Shaul was searching for David. So David says, you're ambushing, you're hunting, you're searching out my soul, you're trying to kill me.
Yeah.
And then Rashi says something fascinating. He answers the question, who would it be that might be ambushing the people who are coming as witnesses from around the country to the Beit Din in Yerushalayim or in Yavne or in the Galil later on? Says Rashi, Vapitusim, Vakutim, Hem Hayu Orvim Lehem Leakvam. Kedei La'tot et HaChamim. I won't define yet who the Bitusim and the Kutim are. They were Orvim, they were ambushing the witnesses.
Delay them.
Leakvam, delay them.
What's Baitumim?
I didn't say yet. Oh, we'll say Kedei La'tot et HaChamim, in order to
confuse them.
Confuse, to make the HaChamim make a mistake. Language of To'er.
Ta'ut. Bad directions.
Yeah.
So what's going on? We have in later chapters in Masechet Rosh Hashanah the mention of the fact that there were sectarians who didn't agree with the way Hachamim were setting the calendar. They disagreed. We'll see later what the disagreement was. And they actually made efforts, well, the Mishnah says the efforts were that when the Hachamim used to announce the beginning of Rosh Chodesh not through Shlichim but through Midorot, through bonfires, before the stage of the Shlichim, the early way of announcing to the Gola, to the diaspora, that the new moon was declared, was there were certain mountaintops in which they made bonfires in a certain configuration. And from one mountaintop to another, they saw it and made the fire, saw it and made the fire, saw it and made the fire. The word got to Babylonia within a few hours. The system was later changed to use Shlichim, runners, when the Bitusim, and I didn't explain who they are yet, that when the Bitusim were trying to confuse the Jewish people by making different bonfires at different times to
confuse.
They had a completely different understanding of how the calendar should be arranged. Now, who are the Bitusim? The Bitusim are mentioned a number of places. One of the most significant mentions is in the Gemara that deals with the holiday of Shavuot. The whole question of when we start counting the Omer.
Mimacharat HaShabbat.
Macharat HaShabbat, right? Yeah. Hachamim hold that Macharat HaShabbat is what the Torah says, and that means the day after the Yom Tov Rishon of Pesach. The Bitusim, it says, held differently. They held that Shabbat means the seventh day of the week, and therefore you start counting always on Sunday, Mimacharat HaShabbat, and therefore Shavuot, 7 weeks later, is always on Sunday. What Hachamim said is a different day of the week, because Shabbat doesn't mean Shabbat. Shabbat means Yom Tov. I'm not going to get the whole thing.
Right.
It takes hours to explain. But there was a controversy over the calendar. The controversy was centered, number one, on when the Omer is brought, and therefore when Shavuot is. And secondly, over the whole matter of Rosh Chodesh. So I really don't remember the details of the Rosh Chodesh controversy. Now, the question of calendar, it could be the most divisive question that could separate a people. Mm-hmm. It's not just a question of what you believe or what you do.
Right.
You put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed and you don't, or you say the bracha before or after lighting Shabbat candles. The question of when is the calendar, when is a holiday,
right,
divides the people. If we celebrate Rosh Hashanah on one day and someone else on a different day, it becomes two different amim. So it's a central question at the end of the Second Temple period of how to set the calendar. So who are the Bitusim and the Kutim that are opposing Chazal here? Some say the Bitusim are simply the Sadducees. But a lot of research has been done that they might be actually what Josephus calls the Isim, the Essenes.
Uh-huh. Essenes.
And actually, it's been shown linguistically that the word Bitus is a corruption of Beit Isi.
Oh.
The house of the Isim.
Uh-huh.
And the Beit Isi, or the Beit Isim, is what in Greek Josephus wrote as Isim. Is that how you say it in English? Isim is what we say in English?
Essenes.
Essens.
Essens.
In English they say Essens.
What does
and
people look
like? It's written about it in the work of Josephus, the Antiquities of the Jews.
They're attributed to the Dead Sea Scrolls, I believe.
There were three sects in the Second Temple period. The Essenes, the Sadducees, and the Pharisees, the three sects of Jews. And we think that it's the Essenes, the Essenes, the Beit Isi, that broke away from the temple and broke away from Jewish society and founded their own groups, one of them most famous being around the shores of the Dead Sea, and of course we found the scrolls there.
Yeah.
It's a lot of controversy here among historians exactly who was what and what happened, but that's one possibility, that Bitusim are Beit Isi, and they had a different approach to the calendar. Again, I don't know, and I don't know if anyone knows exactly what their approach was. But now we get to the interesting part. What we have in our literature, in the Mishnah and the Gemara, is the manner that the Bitusim, or I forgot to say the Kutim. The Kutim is just a word that Rashi uses for non-Jews, or half-Jews, to have to be more specific. The word Kutim originally referred to what's called Girei Arayot, lion converts. Anyone ever heard of the lion converts?
They were converts that were forced?
Out of fear.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is actually found in Sefer Melachim, the Book of Kings, and it says that when the northern kingdom, Yisrael, Shomron, was conquered by
the Assyrians,
100 years before the southern kingdom was conquered, before Yehuda was conquered, so the Assyrians had a policy of population exchange.
Right.
They took most of the Jews living in Yisrael, in Shomron, and exiled them to Assyria, and they replaced that population with people from other lands that they had conquered. And this population exchange was a means of completely disrupting the culture and the society so it would never revolt.
I believe the Soviets did the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. On a much grander scale even.
Yeah.
So anyway, all these non-Jews who now were forced to live in Shomron worshipped their own religion, what they brought with them. But they found that the lions and the tigers and the bears were attacking them. Right, but still together. Lions and tigers and bears.
Oh my!
So Sefer Melachim says that they asked around to find out who is the god of the land that they can pray to him so the lions will stop attacking them. And they asked around. They heard there's a god called Hashem, right? Yud-Kei Vav-Kei.
Right.
And they started worshipping Hashem. But they didn't adopt Judaism fully. They were syncretic. They had their religion and they adopted into it elements of Judaism. And they're called the Kutites.
They didn't have Brit Milah, or is that...
I don't know the details.
Okay.
So anyway, throughout Jewish history, from that point, we're talking about 680 and even a little bit more before the Common Era. 100 years before...
722?
Right,
722?
The destruction was 722?
Before
the Common Era.
So.
And then the next generation, they brought in these people about the year 700 with the Common Era. From that time on, just one more sentence, from that time on, the Kutites and the Jews were always at odds. Because the Kutites said we're Jews, and the Jews said you're not really Jews, and the halakha, there's always a discussion, what is the halakhic status of the Kutites?
First of all, is it possible that... Is it wrong to say that there was assumptions maybe that the Ethiopians were descendants of...
I don't know.
No, I was going to say Kushim. So. Is there a connection between Kuti and Kushi maybe?
I don't think there is.
Okay.
But it's interesting. Isn't the Kutim and the Givonim?
The Givonim goes back much earlier.
That's the time
of Yeshua.
Yeah.
But there is another nation that's related to this, the Shomronim, the Samaritans.
Oh, right, they still exist.
But the Samaritans, I don't remember what their relationship is to the Kutites, But if I'm not mistaken, the Samaritans, the Shomronim, are descendants of the Kutites.
They still offer the Paschal, I think that they offer the Paschal offering.
Yeah, they still offer the Paschal lamb on their understanding of when Pesach is, on Har Gerizim, in Shechem.
I met some of them at Olpan Akiva.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were learning Hebrew.
Really?
94.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So anyway, so now to get back to our Mishnah. In the next chapter of Masechet Rosh Hashanah, it talks about the fact that the sectarians were making their own bonfires in order to lahatot et ha-hachamim.
To confuse them,
We don't have any evidence that the Kutites would literally ambush witnesses. Like Rashi says, we don't have evidence what Rashi says. Just
they
think for a minute.
They never robbed them, no.
To make bonfires when, in order to confuse the members of the diaspora when Rosh Chodesh is, that's easy.
Yeah.
Make bonfires on central hills in Eretz Yisrael. But to ambush witnesses, that's much, much more difficult. It's also much, much more dangerous. It's also another level of violence. To ambush witnesses, they're coming throughout Eretz Yisrael, right, to converge on Yavne, Yerushalayim, that's more difficult. We don't have any evidence that that's what the Kutites and the Bitusim did. Rashi says that because he doesn't understand what this word sodelehem could mean. Ambush them. Who could be ambushing them? Rashi says it must be the Kutites and the Bitusim.
Is there another way of understanding ambush, not in the military sense, but
exactly
different ways? Okay, that's what you're
exactly
getting.
We're going to.
Yes.
So Professor Albeck, in our generation, has a suggestion that none of the Rishonim came up with. Rashi, and all the Rishonim says it means ambush, which means there have to be someone who specifically is trying to get at them. But Professor Albeck says that Sodeh can simply mean Eima.
Threat.
And therefore he says it means they're fearful. It doesn't say of what, and it could be wild animals, which is much, much more likely. There certainly, we know there were lions and tigers and bears in Israel.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course we'd want to take weapons with you.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Now, I would like to show you how Professor Albeck knows or figures out or assumes or hypothesizes that the word sodeh can mean ema, something that Rashi and all the Rishonim didn't know. How does he know? But I can't tell you because I don't have my books here in Dallas.
Oh.
I'll tell you how it works. Professor Albeck wrote his commentary on the Mishnah, and at the back of the book he has his hashlamot, his additions.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives tiny, tiny notes that add great, 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 great depth.
Is he also a rabbi?
Depth. Wait a second.
Yeah, he was a rabbi.
A rabbi? I don't know.
According to a very from Breslov Hasse, he was a rabbi.
Ah, okay.
And we should call him rabbi, he said.
Okay. So, but the point is, in his hashlamot, he writes, look in the commentary where I wrote that sodelehem means ema. And to understand how I got to that, look up my commentary on Breshit Rabbah, page such and such, note such and such. And his commentary on Breshit Rabbah, I have in Israel, but I don't have here in Dallas. So I really don't know how he came to the conclusion that the word sodeh can mean ema.
Well, in answer to the question I just had in my mind, right before you said it, if they're being ambushed, it doesn't seem like sticks would be enough to hold them off. I mean, if they're coming with ambushes, they're gonna come with swords maybe. You know, so why would they bring sticks if that's how's that gonna help them? Right? So the sticks would help them if it was Ema.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
But Ema is used to refer to specifically animals as opposed to
It could certainly refer to animals. Again, the word isn't ema, the word is sodeh.
Sodeh.
It's translated as ema.
Sodeh usually refers to, I would think, animals from the context in Breshit, like where it talks about Esav, Saeed Befiv.
Okay.
I mean, it's...
Can I say? Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go on in the Mishnah. Back to the Mishnah, okay? Back to the Mishnah, the bottom of page 313. So we read, I read it again, beginning of the Mishnah, Mi shera'a et ha-chodesh ve'no yechol lehalech. Someone who saw the new moon and can't walk, and we said that means on Shabbat, right? And by the way, let's just look back at Rashi.
Mm-hmm.
Rashi says it explicitly. the Rashi on the Mishnah that appears in the Gemara that we saw just a minute ago, right? Mi shorata chodesh v'chulei markivim oto af b'shabbat. You see that?
Oh, he has markivim oto.
Very good point. Rashi had a different girsa, right? Because our Mishnah doesn't have the word markivim. Ours says what word?
Holichin.
Molichin, right?
Oh, yeah.
Rashi Molichin. Says markivim, which means we place him to ride. And that might be a better word, same thing. Anyway, so Rashi says, af b'shabbat. Back to the Mishnah.
Okay.
In the Mishnah, we're on the last line of the page. Very last line. Vim haita derech rechoka lokhin biyadam mizonot. If there was the derech rechoka, the way was far, lokhin biyadam, they take in their hands mizonot, food, right? Now, of course, there's no need to say that unless it's Shabbat. If it's not Shabbat, why say that? Obviously, they'll take candy bars with them.
So the fact that it's Shabbat, this is telling you that, I mean, that it's something that they're carrying.
Right.
Them,
you can even go beyond the tomb.
You can even
take an animal. Right? That's another Isur Shabbat.
Yeah.
Take an animal. You can even take sticks and take mizonot. And you might say that taking sticks is a matter of pikuach nefesh. Taking mizonot is not pikuach nefesh, because they're only walking, as we're about to see, for less than 24 hours, as we're about to see.
Oh, so you mean they could fast?
They could fast. No, they can take anything they need to be comfortable.
Okay.
And we're going on to the next page. Sha'al mahalach, laila v'yom mechalalin et shabbat. For a walk of Laila V'yom,
that's 24 hours,
Mechalalin et Shabbat, V'yotzim Leidut HaChodesh, and you go forth Leidut HaChodesh. So let's think, Laila V'yom, in other words, it's Friday night, and we just have now Tzeit HaKochavim, and I see the new moon. If I can get to the Beit Din in a malach of Laila V'yom, I go. And if not, I don't go. Why? Let's think why. Why? By when do I have to be there?
You have to be there before the morning, before sunrise of the 30th day?
Laila V'yom. Not Yom V'Laila, Laila V'yom. Why Laila V'yom? Because I start in the nighttime, and I see the moon at night.
You have to be there before sunset.
Before sunset. What day is the next day?
The day after the moon.
What day of the week is it?
Shabbat. Shabbat. Yeah, Shabbat.
I have to be there before the sun goes down on Shabbat. On Saturday afternoon. So the Beit Din can interview me and hear my testimony and say, Mikudash, Mikudash. And
they're going to actually announce it the next morning, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they will say Mikudash, Mikudash. The riders won't go out until the next morning,
right,
perhaps. But that's a whole different question of when they go out, and it's not really clear.
The Shir Shal Yom. There's also the Shir Shal Yom.
If you're talking about the Mikdash, let's put the Mikdash aside. We'll get to the Mikdash. I'm just talking about the process of declaring the new moon. Now let's think for a second. Why do we think that if the witnesses can get there before Motzei Shabbat, that they go even on Shabbat, but if they can't get there, let's say they live 27 hours away, they can't get there by Motzei Shabbat, the halacha is apparently they don't go, or at least they don't go until Motzei Shabbat. They don't violate Shabbat. Let's think, why not? Why do you think why not?
Victoria.
Think. And there's more than one possible reason.
Because then there would be...
It could be that they wouldn't have enough time to interrogate them if they would get there after Shabbat.
Enough time to interrogate them
to announce Mikudash, Mikudash. Well, can I give a very simple answer? Maybe it's they're not in session. They're asleep. They get there two.
Then the next day.
The next day they're gonna. Okay, so if they didn't come, then they're gonna say Mikudash, Mikudash the next day anyway. It
right.
would be a 30-day month.
Right, and therefore.
So then they wouldn't accept the Eidut anyway? Is that the idea? They wouldn't accept the Eidut?
That's possible. In other words, listen to this. We remember that every Hebrew month is how many days? Either this or that. 29 or 30. So now, on the 29th day of a month past, it's now the day that would be the 30th day. Today is either the 30th of the last month or...
The first
of the next month.
Yeah.
And now at the beginning of this night, that might be the 30th or the first, we saw the new moon. The witnesses run to the Beit Din. Let's say it's not Shabbat. Run to the Beit Din. They make it to the Beit Din by the afternoon of this day, the 30th, right? And they're interrogated. The Beit Din says, we accept your witness, your testimony. And the Beit Din says, Mikudash, Mikudash. So that today... The 30th is not the 30th, rather it is the first of the next month. Now let's say that witnesses didn't make it, didn't come. No one saw the new moon, or they saw the new moon, they didn't make it to the Beit Din. And the Beit Din doesn't say on the 30th, doesn't say Mikudash, Mikudash. Which means, as we've learned, that this day, that witnesses didn't come the 30th, is automatically the 30th, and tomorrow is automatically the first. You don't need witnesses the next day, because... It can't be anything else but that tomorrow is the first. There's no 31st day of a month. So it's possible, says Eret, that the halakha is that if witnesses didn't come on the 30th, then that day is the 30th, the next day is automatically the first, and now witnesses come or don't come, there's nothing to come for. We've already decided, we've already declared that since witnesses didn't come on the 30th, the next day is, by definition, the first day of the month, and that cannot... be changed.
Well, that's a few weeks ago. We
very good.
All the sources.
Wait a
second. Okay,
that's irrevocable. Mm-hmm. Once the witnesses didn't come on the 30th, that became the 30th day of the previous month, and the next day is Rosh Chodesh. Sure. That's a possible position, and that would explain exquisitely why, if witnesses can't make it when they saw the new month on a Friday night. If they can't make it by the end of Shabbat, don't come, because you won't be accepted anyway. That's a very possible position, and it makes a lot of sense. Except that, as Eric was about to say, the Rambam disagrees.
And others, I think, right?
The Rambam disagrees.
What does the Rambam say?
Rambam says that there is a case, there. You try not to accept their Eidut, basically, but if push comes to shove, there is a such thing as retroactively...
Right. The Rambam says that if witnesses come after
you try to
witnesses haven't come on the 30th, and we said the 31st is already the first day of the next month, if witnesses do come that day, the day after, we do accept them, we do listen to them, and there's a possibility, theoretically, says the Rambam, of the third day of the month declaring we were wrong going back days, and really the previous month only had 29. It is possible, says the Rambam. So we have a machloket between Eric and himself. Yeah, but it's a serious machloket, because there are those who say, like Eric said 2 minutes ago, that the reason that you don't let witnesses violate Shabbat if they live more than a malach laila v'yom away, the reason we don't let them go on Shabbat is because their testimony is not worth it anyway. It won't be accepted.
Yeah.
Once the day passes,
mikudash,
mikudash. There is a position like that, and it makes sense here. But the Rambam is going to hold differently. So now we'll have to go back to the drawing board. If the Rambam holds there is such a thing as retroactive Kiddush HaChodesh, then why would the Mishnah say that if the witnesses can't get there by the end of the Shabbat, don't go? Well, the Rambam will say, it doesn't say don't go, it says don't go on Shabbat. But they'll start walking Motzei Shabbat. They'll get there a day and a half later. The Rambam says, it doesn't matter, get there a day later, get there 3 days later. Retroactively, we can listen to their testimony, and in theory,
Although we're probably not going to accept their testimony.
Probably not, but we might.
Yeah.
So the question is, why do we not go on Shabbat? According to the Rambam. So let's think a minute. Why would we not go on Shabbat according to the Rambam?
If it's going to be retroactively changed, then it's going to be retroactively changed anyway.
Right.
Right, is that the idea?
Right.
It doesn't matter.
So why violate Shabbat?
Yeah.
If it could come Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. What does it matter? A few hours difference. But now Eric got us from the frying pan into the fire.
Uh-oh.
Because if it doesn't matter when the witnesses come, we can always retroactively declare Rosh Chodesh, then why violate Shabbat in any case, even if they're just 5 hours away?
Well, you could say it's better not to have to retroactively change it, because that causes a lot of confusion.
Right, it's better. But it's also better, if you're going to do it retroactively, do it close as possible to the date.
Yeah.
So the answer probably is that there is a qualitative difference between declaring Rosh Chodesh on the day it is, on the one hand, and retroactive declaration. That there is a special inyan to try and do it on the day itself. That's why they violate Shabbat. But only if they could make it on the day itself. If they can't make it on the day itself, then it doesn't matter if they're 1 hour late or 1 day late.
Yeah.
But if they can make it on the day itself, there's a qualitative, intrinsic value, as we're about to see, that it be done on the day itself. If it can't be on the day itself, we can do it later. But l'hatkhila is a big inyan to do it on the day itself, afilu b'Shabbat, according to the Rambam. Whereas according to someone else, and if someone else is the Meiri, there's no retroactive declaration. And therefore, we understand, according to Meiri, why it's only Ma'alach Yom Ma'alayla V'la Yom. Now listen to this. Just one more thing. If we just heard a summary, a survey of the machloket between the Rambam and the Meiri, understand a big difference here between the two. There's many differences, just understand one. According to the Rambam, the matter of witness don't go, if you live further than a malach, Laila V'yom, according to the Rambam, that's said only in Shabbat. If it's Tuesday, go, even if you live 3 days away. According to the Meiri, the matter don't go if you live further away than Malach, Laila V'yom, that's true not just on Shabbat.
Yeah.
It's true every day of the week. Because if you live too far away and you won't get there on the day, then your testimony won't be accepted. Hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let's look in the Mishnah and ask ourselves which of the two possibilities really fits better in the words. Do the words say that Malach Ya Laila V'yom is a din in Shabbat or a din in general Edut HaChodesh?
It says explicitly Mechalin et HaShabbat.
It says explicitly.
Yeah.
Right? The last line of page 313 and the first line of page 314 says Sha'al Mahalach Laila V'yom Mechalalin et HaShabbat. The matter of Malach Laila V'yom is said explicitly in context of Shabbat, which sounds like it doesn't apply during the rest of the week.
Yeah.
That's what the Rambam says. During the rest of the week you go, even if you live 2 days away, 3 away, 4 days ago, you what? Go. On Shabbat you don't go. Whereas the Meiri says, this deen applies on across the board, even on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. The Meiri will have to say that the Mishnah says, don't go on Shabbat, because, the Mishnah says, don't mechalel Shabbat, because even if it was during the week, you wouldn't go. So why go on Shabbat? But it's
a little bit different.
It's a little bit forced. In other words,
yeah,
it does seem that there's a good base of what the Rambam says, that we do accept a dut that goes beyond Malach Laila V'yom.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't violate Shabbat for it. Because if it's more than Malach Laila V'Yom, we miss the matter of declaring the new moon on the day itself. And that's, for that you violate Shabbat, but not, you don't violate Shabbat for the, just to quantitatively have the retroactive declaration sooner.
But also the, at that, those times, I don't think they traveled at night. No, they didn't travel at night.
Here we're talking about traveling at night, and that's the matter of taking maklot, right? That's a good point that Reuven's making.
Yeah.
Very often people didn't travel at night. These people are being asked to travel at night, so they have to take with them the maklot.
They're being asked to put their life in danger. I mean, you could even take it that far, if it's dangerous to travel at night.
I guess if it was real pikuach nefesh, we wouldn't...
Maybe not.
No, because we say al shloshad varim yareg val yavor. There are three things you put your life in danger for. Do you put your life in danger for kiddush
hachodesh?
I never heard. So I guess it's not
adultery.
It's not a serious pikuach nefesh. But it's scary.
Yeah, they didn't have roads either back then, did they? Did they have roads? Right.
They had roads. I mean,
certainly had that.
Yeah, but they didn't have paved roads like we have.
No.
Cobblestone.
No,
not even that. They were paths, yeah, probably like paths.
They say here that there was a danger because of chayas.
Yeah.
At night.
Right. And I even mean, the daytime.
You're
more
putting
at
them
night
in some danger, a certain degree of danger.
Okay. So now there's one line missing from what we learned in the Mishnah. We didn't look at the end of the Mishnah.
Oh.
And the Mishnah says in the last line, top of page 314, Shenema. Let's actually remember the whole context. Al Malach Laila V'Yom Mechalalin Et Shabbat, top of the page, V'yotzim Leidut HaChodesh, and they go forth for Eidut HaChodesh, Shenema Et Moadei Hashem Asher tikra'u otam bimo adam. These are the festivals of God. Asher tikra'u otam bimo adam, that you should declare in their moed, in their proper time. And somehow, that's a proof for what the Mishnah says. So let's think of how this is being used. How this drasha is being used. On my question sheet, I gave you two possible ways of understanding the drasha. And I want everyone to look at five. Five. Mr. Galler.
What?
There are two possible ways of understanding the drasha that I put on the question sheet. Number five. It says, in light of the context of the drasha within the Mishnah, which of the following two understandings, right over there, number five, which of the following two understandings of the drasha is apparently the more correct one? Ready?
Yeah.
Number one, the moed must be designated to be at the proper moed. The act of designating the moed must be done at the time of the moed itself. And I know that's confusing.
That second one seems far-fetched. You're saying that you would have to declare the moed on the moed.
Mm-hmm. Notice I did not translate the word moed on purpose. The moed simply means the designated time, right?
Oh.
So the moed must be designated to be at the proper moed. Or the act of designating the moed must be done at the time of the moed itself. First I'll ask everyone, what is the moed here, apparently?
In the way it's bringing it, it refers to the...
Rosh
when
Chodesh.
You declare Rosh Chodesh.
Rosh Chodesh,
yeah.
Right? The moed is Rosh Chodesh, apparently. So, number one, the possibility is, Rosh Chodesh must be designated to be at the proper time. In other words, is the drasha telling us, declare Rosh Chodesh when the sky says it's Rosh Chodesh? Actually, the way it's said in English was ambiguous.
Uh-huh.
Possibility number one, that Rosh Chodesh must be declared to be at the time that it really is Rosh Chodesh in the sky.
Meaning that's when they say Mikudash, Mikudash.
No.
Rosh
Chodesh must be declared actually to fall
must be made to fall on the time that it's supposed to fall according to the sky.
Oh, okay.
Or, husband two, the act of designating it's Rosh Chodesh must be done at the time that it is Rosh Chodesh. Does anyone here, the very, very subtle distinction between the two possibilities I'm presenting, I worked in this, you can't remember, all 4 hours on Shabbat afternoon I thought about this.
If the testimony is based on Idut, it won't always be declared when it's really Rosh Chodesh in the sky. When it's really Rosh Chodesh in the sky, there are mathematical formulas, if that's how we want to declare it. There are mathematical formulas that aren't that complicated, I don't think, that we can make sure that Rosh Chodesh is always declared exactly when it's Rosh Chodesh.
But given that there is a mitzvah of using Eidut HaChodesh, it could be that we want that Eidut and the declaration basin to correspond as far as possible to the astronomical
reality.
And it's true, we do.
It could be impossible, right? If it's overcast, it could be impossible.
Okay, but as far as possible, we want to be a hafifa, a
overlap
between the astronomical reality and what we declare. That's clear. The question is that what the drasha is saying, or is the drasha saying something else? Now let me try and explain. It's so easy, but it's so complicated to explain. What is the point of the drasha? Does the point of the drasha relate to when Rosh Chodesh is, or does it relate to the act of declaring Rosh Chodesh?
Probably the act of declaring. The act of declaring, I would think.
Are we saying make sure
declare through the Eidus?
That Rosh Chodesh falls out on the astronomical Rosh Chodesh?
Yeah.
Or is it saying make sure that you declare, the act of declaration is done on that day that Rosh Chodesh falls out? Why is it different? It goes back again to the Rambam's retroactive declaration.
So I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but the Greeks at the time of Hanukkah, one of the reasons why they didn't want us to keep Rosh Chodesh is because they were very in touch with the stars, and astronomy, and whenever the Yidden would declare this is Rosh Chodesh, Mikudash Mikudash, the cosmology, the stars, the constellations would shift. They could see it happening, that because God Hashem gave us that power, the rabbis the power to
But that sounds very far. That's mystical stuff. That's not the
no.
That's not the Mishnah.
But you have to the importance of declaring it. Mm-hmm. That would lean towards that this is important. It's important to declare it.
Okay, so that's one possibility. The point is that you have to declare it on this day. A different way of looking at it, you have to declare it to be this day. Is the question the declaration or the
timing?
Content of the declaration? Is the point that you have to make the declaration on the Moed, or is the point that when you make the declaration it has to correspond to the proper Moed?
So the Meiri's position would be it doesn't have to necessarily correspond because there's no retroactivity.
The opposite. It could be, according to the Meiri, this is the source of his understanding, there's no retroactivity. Because the drasha says you have to declare on that very day. And if you don't do it on that day, there's nothing else you can do. So we have to keep these two possibilities in our mind.
But if it's not declared on the day, if you don't allow someone to violate Shabbat, they get there late. It's not declared on the proper day. There's no going back and changing it.
Right.
So there's a separation between the astronomical reality and the declaration.
Okay.
There's another aspect also. The women, I think on Rosh Chodesh, they weren't, they couldn't do malacha of some sort.
There's a custom of not doing malacha on Rosh Chodesh for women.
I don't know how far that goes back, but if there's a custom of not doing malacha, then there would be a sense of urgency of making sure that that day was known to people.
Ah, okay, but there are, the Mishnah mentions other urgencies, right? The Korbanot and the Chagim. It doesn't mention that as an urgency. And indeed, most months we know the Shluchim didn't even go out. I'm sorry, 6 months didn't go out, so no one knew when Rosh Chodesh was. So obviously the custom of not doing Lachan Rosh Chodesh is hundreds of years later when they did know.
Fixed calendar.
The calendar was fixed. Okay, so that's all. This is the background to our Mishnah. We have to now, of course, look at the Mifrashim. But before the Mifrashim, there's a major, major, major question that has bothered me for a week or two. And again, I spent many hours on Shabbat and last night thinking about this question. Our Mishnah seems to contradict a Mishnah we learned earlier. A week ago, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, I asked this question here.
Oh, where Rabbi Akiva delayed them? On Shabbat? That's a little bit...
It's even a greater contradiction.
Okay.
Let's look back. Let's look back at the earlier Mishnayot. And I'm referring to Mishnah Dalet. Mishnah Dalet says, Al Shnei Chodeshim Mechalalim the Shabbat. On 2 months we Mechalal the Shabbat. Al Nisan Val Tishrei Shebehen Ashluchim Yotzim Lesuryo Behen Mitaknin Et HaMoadot. Bukshaya Beit HaMikdash Kayam Mechalin Af Al Kulan Nipnei Takanat HaKorban. It says, for only 2 months do we Mechalal the Shabbat, and it's talking about the witnesses. And when there was a temple, then we were Michalel for
all of them.
Why were we Michalel for all of them? Because of the Korban. To make sure you brought the Korban of Rosh Chodesh at the proper time. And when there's no Korban, there's no Mikdash, we're only Michalel on 2 months, because those are the months when there are the holidays. Right?
Yes.
Sukkot and Yom Kippur on Tishrei, and Pesach and Shavuot is determined by the Edut of Nisan. Right? Shavuot is not Nisan, but it's a count from a certain time in Nisan. You don't need to know the Rosh Chodesh of Iyar, of Sivan, to determine Shavuot. It begins, it's all based upon Rosh Chodesh of Nisan.
Right.
So according to this Mishnah, Mishnah Dalet, we are Michalel Shabbat with the witnesses for all of the months when there's a temple because of the Korban. Yes. And when there's not a temple, on 2 months because of the Moedot. But the Mishnah we just learned says that in all of the months we are Michalel Shabbat. It doesn't make a distinction of 2 months or 5 months or 7 months or 9 months. It just says we're Michalel Shabbat if the witnesses live within a ma'alach of Laila Vayom. And then it gives a reason that's not this and not that. It's not because of the Korban, not because of the Modot, it's rather because of a drasha. A drasha is Doraita. Right? The Torah says. The Torah says the drasha of Eila Mo'adei Hashem Asher Tiku Otam Mo'adam. Whatever it means, what it means, declare them, the act of declaration on the day itself, which means the witnesses have to violate Shabbat to get there, or whether it means that make sure that Rosh Chodesh is on the right day, which means, again, the witnesses have to get there, even on Shabbat. Whatever your understanding of the drasha is a basis to say the witnesses violate Shabbat. And of course the drasha doesn't distinguish between this month and that month. So if we have a drasha doraita that causes us to say that the witnesses that live with a malach yom v'layla, layla v'yom, have to violate Shabbat, why do you need a different Mishnah that says we violate Shabbat in the temple every month because of the korban? We need korban, you have a drasha. And if it's...
Okay.
Unbelievably difficult.
Two things. First of all, you assume that this Mishnah refers to Shabbat because it makes sense from the context. Even though
Which one?
Mishnah Tet that we learned today. Even though Shabbat's not mentioned anywhere. So Shabbat was mentioned in the previous Mishnah, and we said it has to refer to Shabbat because of the context. Is it too far of a stretch to say we have a previous Mishnah that tells us on 2 months we violate Shabbat, so this Mishnah is talking about one of those 2 months, and then the drash at the end, Moadei, refers to the Moedim. refers to Sukkot, Pesach. It's another reading of Mordeh, Ela Mordeh.
Very good. Good possibility. Actually, some of the Rishonim say that.
Oh.
That's fantastic. But I want everyone to understand the difficulty before in the Senate Teirutzim. There does seem to be, just repeat it again, a drasha in Mishnah Tet that says we violate Shabbat, and the reason is the drasha. And if there's a drasha, why need a different Mishnah that says we violate Shabbat for different reasons? Whether it's the Moedot, or whether it's the Korban, don't need all that. We have a drasha that says we have to declare the Rosh Chodesh on a certain day, and for that, the witnesses have to violate Shabbat to get there on that day.
Okay.
So Eric had a good answer, and we'll see in the Rishonim now. We'll spend the rest of the time just in the Rishonim.
What was Eric's answer again?
Let's Did wait to the Rishonim and see it.
Oh, okay.
I've got a different answer, maybe.
Give a different answer.
There was an effort, a special effort to get them to come. We see that. We see that there was a special effort to make sure that they came.
Mm-hmm.
They threw a party in the courtyard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There was a special effort to make sure that they came, for whatever reason that was. And so we see there's a special effort to make people come. So to give all different types of reasons would just enforce
I don't see how that answers the question.
When a person has more reasons to come, then they can't, you know.
But there's not more reasons for them to come here.
No.
There's a drasha.
And then there's another Mishnah.
But that doesn't affect them.
No, but they.
Could I just?
They have more reasons.
They have more reasons.
No.
No, we're not talking about them. We're talking about what allows violation of Shabbat. What allows violation of Shabbat?
I don't see the difficulty. Maybe because I thought of the answer to the question. In other words, when I read this, I didn't initially, but once you pointed it out, there are only 2 months, I thought, yeah, that makes sense, because it's mentioned before in the Mishnah. This Mishnah comes after.
I hear. Okay, so let's see Rashi,
okay.
And you'll see that Rashi doesn't understand like you, does it?
Oh, okay.
So I'm looking at Rashi over here. This is Rashi on the Mishnah Dalet. I won't read the Dibur Matril. I'll read it without the Dibur Matril. I'm reading from Umin HaTorah. Rashi says an amazing thing. It's just so hard to wrap your head around what Rashi says. He says, Min HaTorah Mechalalin Al Kulan. Stop there. That's according to Rashi, the drasha at the end of the chapter, Eile Moedei Hashem Asher Tikru Otam B'Moedam, teaches you that you can do anything to declare them at the right time.
I remember this. In the Bar Tanora, I remember reading this.
Even on Shabbat.
Yeah.
And that's for every month.
And then Chazal came to limit it to
only
6 months.
Not just those 2 months, but the whole year.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then Chazal came to protect.
Aval Rabbanan Asru.
Yeah.
Gevalt! Rabbanan Asru! The Torah says the witnesses should violate Shabbat every single month, if it falls out on Shabbat, to run to the Beitin. The Rabbanan Asru, Hachamim said don't. Torah said do, Hachamim said don't. Lefi, She'ein Tikuna Moadot Tului Behen. Because the fixing of the Moadot is not Tului Behen. In other words, if it's not the month of Tishrei and Nisan, then don't. Because, so what? If we get it wrong. V'lo ekpatlan l'malan u'lechasran al piyedim. It doesn't matter to us so much to fill up the month, which means to make it 30, or to empty the month, which means to make it 29, al piyedim, according to the edim. Ach shnei chodeshim elu, but for these 2 months, Tishrei and Nisan, himidum al din Torah. The Hachamim established it for din Torah. In other words, the Hachamim said, only for 2 months do what the Torah says. Shakola moedot tluya tluyin behen, because all of the moedot are tului on those 2 months. Right? Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Pesach Shavuot, Pesach Sheni. Not Pesach Shini, take it back. All of the Moedot of Doraita, of the Torah, depend on these 2 months. So Rashi, first of all, understand why Rashi says what he says. Because Rashi cannot say what Eric said. Rashi just cannot bring himself to say what Eric said. The Drasha says, but the Mishnah Tet says, and the Drasha says, no, it references two special months. It's talking about all the months. A Drasha from the Torah that says, Eile Moedim Hashem Asher Tikru Toma Moedam. And it's referring to Rashi. What does the word Moed mean now? It means Rosh Chodesh. And the Drasha says that you have to declare Rosh Chodesh. You have to do the act of declaring Rosh Chodesh on the day that it's Rosh Chodesh, which means that you have to do everything in your power, even violate Shabbat, to get there on that day. And that's on all 12 months. That's a mitzvah doraita, to declare Rosh Chodesh, to do the act of declaring when it's still Rosh Chodesh. And if you hold the witnesses up and don't let them come on Shabbat, they'll come after the day has already been missed. And even if there is retroactive declaration, the declaration still will not be taking place on the day of Rosh Chodesh. Yom Kippur of the Rosh Hashanah. So Rashi says that we have explicit doraita, drasha, that you violate Shabbat on all 12 months, and then the Hachamim came and limited that. So we understand why Rashi says what he says, because he has to reconcile Mishnah Dalet with Mishnah Tet. But now, how could he say that? I mean, if the Torah says violate Shabbat in order to declare, do the act of declaring Rosh Chodesh on the proper day, and the Hachamim said don't, and why not? Don't, because the Torah said you should violate Shabbat, but really, what are you violating Shabbat for? It's not one of the Moedim. So what's the big deal? It's unbelievable.
Well, there are two similar examples we have about the shofar on Shabbat. The Chachamim also came along and said, don't blow the shofar on Shabbat, and lulav and etrog on Sukkot.
Very good.
Similar.
Very good. It's really hard to wrap your mind around, but it's exactly the same thing. Specific Torah law to do something that violates Shabbat, and Chachamim said, don't do it.
Right.
Yeah. But you can understand why someone might try to say differently than Rashi, because this is really, really hard to understand. Again, you brought really good examples, but it's not the only case. But if we see that the Ritba holds like Rashi, we'll understand. And if we see the Meiri and the Rambam disagree with Rashi, we'll also understand. So let's look at the Ritba, the bottom of the page, who holds exactly like Rashi. Holds like Rashi.
Could there be... The fact that they limited to the Moedim, the Moedot, that you have to declare the Rosh Chodesh today could be tied into the fact that it's tied into the Moedot, the Moedim.
Right? You mean Pesach?
Yeah, you have to declare today. The mission of the opinion that says you have to declare.
That's what Eric was saying. And that's going to be the position of the Rambam. Mm-hmm. That the word Moedot in the verse doesn't mean Rosh Chodesh. It means Pesach and Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Uh-huh. So let's see the Ritba, who holds exactly like Rashi, just to strengthen that. And then we'll see the other opinion. So the Ritba says, at the bottom of the page, Matnitin al Shnei Chodeshim. The Mishnah says, only in 2 months do the Edim violate Shabbat. Perush, Edim Shirau Halevana B'Yom HaShloshim, witnesses that saw the
30th day,
the moon on the 30th day. Lavo LeBeitin LeKodesho, they come to the Beitin to sanctify it. Vilu Midoraita, whereas Midoraita Bechol HaChodeshim Mechalalin Mishum DeMitzvah LeKadesh Al Pi Ariyah. Right, according to the Torah, on all of the months we mechal Shabbat, because it's a mitzvah lekadesh al pi Ariyah, v'chidetanya lekaman al kriyatan atam mechalel. It's a drasha that we did not learning. Aval Rabbanan bat luhu, but the Hachamim canceled it. Shelo yichalelu ela heicha deika takana. The Rabbanan canceled this chilul Shabbat, that the witnesses won't michalel except where there is ika, there is a takana, something good that comes of it. Mipnei abayit al kulan, mipnei takanat korban. When there was a bayit, a beit mikdash, on all the months before the fixing of the korban, then the Hachamim said, do what the Torah says and violate for every month, so the korban could be at the right time. But shalom mipnei abayit, when there's not a temple, al Nisan v'al Tishrei mipnei takanat ha-moadot. On those 2 months, to fix the holidays. But it really means that according to this interpretation of Rashi in the Ritva, the Hachamim canceled a mitzvah doraita. A mitzvah doraita of declaring the new moon, of the act of declaring the new moon, being on the new moon itself. And they said it doesn't matter.
This is somehow tied to the not having the Beit HaMikdash. Could it be that there's a separate, that the deraita obligation doesn't apply after the Beit HaMikdash or something? Could that, or is that a stretch?
That's not what they're saying. No, they're not saying that Hachamim interpreted that the deraita is now not a deraita. Hachamim bit luhu.
They canceled it after the HaMikdash.
It means that there is a deraita, but we're not doing it.
Right.
Again, your examples were good. I can write down your examples.
Oh.
Just like, I'm going to write down.
We hear those examples all the time. They're hit over our head.
Right. Just like lulav.
Shofar on Rosh Hashanah.
And shofar on Shabbat. You're right.
It's very confusing, this whole thing.
Are there other examples?
It's very confusing.
There are probably others, too. Those are the two most examples.
Okay.
Bartonor, I think, only brings this explanation. What I remember, because I was surprised to see. Yeah. So, I don't think he brought the Rambam in.
When I first saw this explanation, again, I spent hours trying to figure this out. This is just so hard. Anyway, so now we're going to look at a different approach. The Rambam understands differently than Rashi and the Ritva.
Yeah.
Rambam in Hilchot Kiddush HaChodesh Perakim al Halacha Bet, and the Rambam is going in the footsteps of Chachmei Sfarad, the Rock, Reino Hananel, holds like the Rambam. It's a little bit too hard for me to see, but he said, Eidim, Shira'u et HaChodesh, Harei Elu Holchin Leveit Din La'id V'Filu Haya B'Shabbat. Translation, the Eidim that saw the new moon, behold, these go to the Beit Din to give testimony, even if it was on Shabbat. Shenemar, Ashit Tikra'u Otam B'Moadam. Like it says, the drasha that we have at the end of Mishnah Tet, that you should declare them at their proper time. Nothing new here yet. V'chol makom shenemar Moed, Duche et the Shabbat. Every place where it says Moed, Duche et the Shabbat. If it says you have to do something the Moed, you have to do it at that time, even if it's Shabbat. Lefichach, therefore, Ein Mechalalin Ella al Rosh Chodesh Nisan val Rosh Chodesh Tishrei Bilvad, Mipnei Takanat Hamoadot. Therefore, we violate Shabbat only for Rosh Chodesh Nisan and Rosh Chodesh Tishrei because of Takanat HaMoadot, to fix the Moadot. Or Bizman Sha Beit HaMikdash Kayam Mechalalin Al Kulan Mipnei Korban Musaf Shebechol Rosh Chodesh Shehu Dochet HaShabbat. When there's a Mikdash, we're Mechalel for all of the months because of the Korban Musaf. That's every month, which is Doche Shabbat. The Rambam is extremely unclear, and you're probably confused. But what is clear is he doesn't hold like Rashi. He never says it's a matter of bitlu, the Hachamim bitlu something. He holds something different, but it's not clear what he holds. We have to look very, very closely and carefully at the Rambam, understand what he's saying. We have to begin at the end. At the end, the Rambam says, why do we violate Rosh Chodesh for every month? When is a Beit HaMikdash? The reason is for the Korban. And then he says, Shehu Dochet HaShabbat. The last few words, Shehu Dochet HaShabbat. What does the word who refer to?
The Korban?
The Korban.
Yeah.
What does it mean the Korban is Dochet Shabbat? What does it mean the Korban Musaf is Dochet Shabbat? Just simple question, not complicated. Exactly. It means the act of bringing the Korban.
Korban on Shabbat, on Musaf.
Right. The act of Shechita is Isur HaDoraita. But you like to do it on Shabbat.
We do that on Shabbat, yeah.
Right, okay. So now, why does the Rambam say that? Well, who's talking about shechting an animal? We're talking about Edut HaChodesh.
Because I read this in a more expansive sense, that he's talking about declaring the Rosh Chodesh, what you have to do in order to declare the Rosh Chodesh when there's a temple, when there are korbanot, that is dochet HaShabbat.
No, he's not saying that. He's talking about the Shechita. He's talking about the korban shebechol Rosh Chodesh shehu dochet HaShabbat. We mechalel, the edim are mechalel, because we're allowed to do the Shechita.
Right, okay, okay. He's making,
you hear that?
He's making an analogy.
He's making an analogy. It's more than an analogy. It's a, if the halakha is that you're allowed to and you're commanded to do the Shechita and do the Kabbalat Adam and everything that's forbidden on Shabbat, do it on Shabbat anyway. If the Torah wants us to violate the laws of Shechita, etc. for the Korban, then obviously means that the Torah also wants us to violate the other laws of Shabbat to get this korban at the right time, which means the laws of walking and the tchum and carrying to get the edim to the
court. That's different from Rashi. That's different from Rashi.
It's different than Rashi. In other words, so notice now something, the following. When the Rambam explains to us why we violate Shabbat for all the months when the temple is in existence, the Rambam has no recourse to the drasha. He gives us something we've never heard of before.
It's a different kind of logic. In other words, he's
a different type of logic.
Yeah.
The Rambam says that Mishnah Dalet, that says when there was a temple, we violate Shabbat with the witnesses for the months, that has nothing to do with Mishnah Tet. Nothing to do with Mishnah Tet. It's his own separate entity. And the reason we violate Shabbat for every month when there's a korban is the internal logic of the Korban. Since the Korban is the Dochet Shabbat, therefore everything connected with the Korban, including the witnesses, is also the Dochet Shabbat. And has nothing to do with the drasha of Asher Tikru Otam B'Moadam. That's completely different. Now we ask ourselves, now the next question.
That rings a bell.
Why? Why does the drasha Asher Tikru Otam B'Moadam not apply to every month?
Why?
Why? And Eric gave the answer earlier.
I gave the answer that the other reading of Moed is usually in context of the Moedim, Sukkot, Pesach, maybe Yom Kippur.
So now we came to our fundamental machloket between the Rashi and the Rambam. According to Rashi, Asher Tikra'u Otam B'Moedam, Asher Tikra'u Otam, Eila Moedei Hashem, these are the Moedim of Hashem, Asher Tikra'u Otam B'Moedam. When it says Eile Moedei Hashem Asher Tikru Otam, it's referring to Rashi to Rosh Chodesh. Whereas according to the Rambam, it's talking about the Moedim,
the holidays.
The holidays.
By the way, the context in
the context is the holidays.
It's the holidays. Yeah.
The Rambam talking about the holidays. He talks the two different things they're talking about.
But this rings a bell. I mean, this rings a bell in my mind when I learned it previously, that one of the reasons why they stopped doing it every month was because they couldn't. It became to a point where there was such a billboard
with the B2SIM, right?
With the B2SIM and just so much going on. Maybe what that means is they could not fulfill that puzzle. They could not fulfill that drasha.
But all this goes much earlier than that. This is before, this is during the time of the temple like we're talking about now, right? Why during the time of the temple did the Edim violate Shabbat every single month?
Because they could do it. But once it got,
what do you mean they could
point,
do it? We violate Shabbat because you could?
No, they didn't. No, I'm saying they could do it. They were commanded to do it. They did everything they could.
But where's the command? The question is, where's the command?
The puzzle.
That's according to Rashi. But according to the Rambam, that's not true.
No, what I said by the Rambam is, before the Rambam, it became impossible to fulfill that pasuk.
But Reuven, the Rambam is explaining on the most basic level why, when there was a temple, do we violate Shabbat for all of the 12 months. And the Rambam says it has nothing to do with the Pasuk.
That's what I want to say. The Mishnah later...
There's no later. This is the Mishnah
that talks
about
Bisman Habayit
says the Rambam we violated for every single month
because it can
because of the internal logic of the Korban, since the Korban is Dochet Shabbat, therefore the witnesses Dochet Shabbat, nothing to do with any drasha.
He doesn't go by that pasuk now. No.
And the reason is, according to the Rambam, the drasha is talking only about the Moedot.
understand what that means. I shouldn't use the word moedot, because that's the word in the verse.
Right.
When the verse says moedot, it's talking about the moedot
Pesach
Shavuot Sukkot.
Right.
I wish we had like a little like page so you could do the history timeline.
No, there's no timeline here.
No?
This is not a matter of historical development.
But the Mishnah was before the Mishnah was placed before the problems with the Kiddush HaChodesh.
Before, unrelated to that. We're talking about Bizman Habayit every single month, right?
So the Mishnah, this drash that brings this pasuk would have to refer to post Beit HaMikdash on these 2 months, because during the Beit HaMikdash they can violate Shabbat every month, not only on these 2 months. In other words, right?
Good point. Oh. Oh wow! Wait a second.
Oh, okay, sorry. so for Rambam, you can always violate Shabbat, not only on these 2 months. So could
okay, that's a very good point, Eric. Oh, Eric, that's a good point. Oh wow!
Please repeat the point. Please
repeat the point. Wait a second. I have to think of an answer to that. Oh wow!
Please repeat the point.
Okay. Rambam says that you can always be Mechalel Shabbat because of Musaf. That's what you said, Reuven. Because you can offer the Musaf Korban. So, I mean, what's this telling you about these 2 months? You can always do it. So I suggest, does that mean this is post Beit HaMikdash?
I guess the answer to the question is that since there's no explicit statement in the Torah that you can violate Shabbat for the witnesses for every month, it's just an inference from the Korban. Therefore, there could be a separate drasha that teaches part of that same truth.
Uh-huh.
It's not considered to be superfluous.
Yeah.
Because they're not two explicit drashot that overlap.
Yeah.
Rather, one is an inference and the other is an explicit drasha.
So then
what do we need the drasha for? The drasha says that you're allowed, that you can do anything in your power to make sure that Pesach and the Tishrei Moedot are at the proper time. In order to make sure that Pesach was at the proper time, you have to make sure that Rosh Chodesh was at the proper time. Make sure
right.
Rosh Chodesh was at the proper time, you have to violate Shabbat.
Right, okay. But Rambam's interpretation of this Mishnah, because you can violate Shabbat every month in the time of the temple.
Yeah.
So couldn't you say this, according to Rambam, this Mishnah would refer to after the temple? Because how
I understand, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
So let's now read the Rambam again. Let's not read it, let's just explain outside. So again, according to the Rambam, the drasha is Eila Moadei Hashem Asher Tikru Otam Moadam, is not referring to Rosh Chodesh. It's referring to the Moedot, the Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, Yom Kippur, and Rosh Hashanah. And it's telling us that those holidays must fall out at the right time, astronomically. We should make every effort to make sure they fall out at the right time astronomically. And therefore, we understand that for those holidays, and only for those holidays, we can violate Shabbat to make Rosh Chodesh at the proper time.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with the other months of the year. The other months of the year, we violate Shabbat when there's a temple for the Korban, and that's, the Korban is an internal logic of Korban. We violate Shabbat for the Edim of Rosh Chodesh when there's a temple, because we violate Shabbat for the Korban, and therefore by analogy, like you said, we violate Shabbat also for the Edut that allows us to bring the Korban at the right time.
Well, Shabbat has a Musaf anyway. Every Shabbat you have a Musaf anyway.
That's true, but that's not really
not relevant here.
Because the Musaf of Shabbat, you know when Shabbat is all
the time,
without
Shabbat, we have that.
Without Edim,
yeah.
So, there's a third Shita. It's a third Shita.
Oh, that's the Meiri?
That's the Meiri. Not Rashi and not the Rambam, but the Meiri. Do you have strength for the...
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, you two. Perhaps if anyone else wants to go, you're playing asleep.
This question that Eric's arising about the Musaf, not, you know, if it's talking about to bring the Korban Musaf, then how can the Rambam how can it be the Rambam's talking about during the Beisim? The Mishnah, according to the Rambam, that the Mishnah is talking about during the Beisim Mikdash. It has to be after the Beisim Mikdash. Right? It has to be.
Well, you said Rambam is interpreting the Moed to mean only in those 2 months do you violate Shabbat to declare Rosh Chodesh, but he says you do it on every month.
There are two different sets of logic here, and they're basically unrelated.
Yeah.
Two different sets of inferences that are unrelated. One gives us permission to violate for the Korban, the other for the setting of the Moedim, and they're independent sets of logic.
So halacha lamaseh, during the time of the temple, I know it's not halacha lamaseh, it's theoretical, but Rambam, would he hold that on the Chachamim... So he doesn't hold by this concept of bitul, that the Chachamim canceled...
The Rambam does not hold by this concept of bitul. That's very important to say.
Okay.
The Rambam avoids saying this very, very difficult thing that Rashi and the Ritva said, that the Chachamim were mivatel.
Right.
A mitzvah d'oraita. I understand there are other places that we say it, but if you don't have to say it, if it's not explicit, well, don't make it up.
So he has this other logic which ties it to the Musaf.
Yep.
The analogy.
Yep.
Okay.
And now the Meiri. First I have the Meiri on the Mishnah Dalet, and the Meiri on Mishnah Tet. So the Meiri says, Beit Bechira Lemeiri Lemasekat Rosh Hashanah Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Bet. This is the one that talks about Al Shnei Chodeshim. Mipanei ze hitiu leidim b'shnei chodeshim elu lechalilat Shabbat. Lavo leveidim. Afapi sheinam betoch hatchum. Mipanei shemitzvat hakidush nemra b'nisan b'frat. Utsalama kezev ra'ei v'kadesh. So, the Meiri is referring to Shmot chapter Yud Bet Psukim Aleph Bet. By the Ber Hashem El Moshe Aaron Beretz Mitzrayim Lemor. Achodish Hazel Lechem Rosh Chodeshim Rishon Hu Lechem Lechodshei Hashana. And that's Mitzvah Kiddush Hachodesh, right? Rashi says it's the first mitzvah of the Torah. The first Rashi in Breishit says the Torah should have begun with Achodish Hazel Lechem.
Right.
And there, the Midrash says, when it says Achodish Hazel Lechem Rosh Chodeshim, this month is to you the first of months. Rashi brings the Midrash that says, this month, it means this moon, is as it is in the sky right now, that little sliver,
that's supposed to be
Rosh Chodesh. In other words, that's the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. HaKodesh Baruch Hu pointed to the moon in the sky and said, Moshe, that's the new moon. When it looks like that, declare Rosh Chodesh. And that's what the Meiri says, Kizera Evechadesh, like this, see it and declare. So the Meiri is bringing something the Rambam didn't bring in, and something that the Ritva didn't bring in. He's going back to Shmot Yud Bet, and he's ignoring the drasha on Elam Oedei Hashem Asher Tikru Otam. And what is the Meiri saying? He's saying that there's a special mitzvah to declare Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Because when it said, when you see this, declare the new moon, it was talking about Nisan, right?
Yeah.
And says the Meiri, the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh is really only said in Nisan.
It's only Nisan.
Was that Mitzrayim? Was it Mitzrayim when he showed him this, or was this already in
Mitzrayim? It was in Mitzrayim.
Before Yitzhak Mitzrayim.
Just right before.
And then he says, the Anu, it's the middle of the second line, the Anu Mashvim Lo Tishrei Shehu Shavelo B'Tikun HaMoadot. And we compare to it Tishrei because it's equal to it for the Tikun HaMoadot. Shekol Tikunei HaMoadot V'yom Pasul V'yom Kasher Tluyim B'Kavua Nisan. And I don't really know what those words mean 100%. But what's important for us is he says there's a mitzvah d'oraita to declare Rosh Chodesh Nisan at the proper time. And that's why the Edim violate Shabbat for Nisan. And he says the Hachamim understood that Tishrei is the same din as Nisan, because it's the same importance as Nisan as far as the Tikkun HaMoedot.
All the other Rosh Chodeshim are established because of Nisan and Tishrei.
That's true. But no, wait a second. Why because of Nisan and Tishrei? If you want to say just because of
Nisan, I'd understand. But just because of Tishrei, I guess he means not the months, but the Moedot.
Yeah.
Right? Because
yeah.
the Moedot yeah. are established in those 2 months. Again, Shavuot is a function of Nisan.
Nisan yeah.
In other words, if they got these 2 months right,
then we have all the Moedot in place.
They can do the others.
Yeah.
Then we know all of the Moedot. We know when
Moedot,
Yom
yeah,
Kippur
yeah.
is, we know Rosh Hashanah, yeah. we know Sukkot, we know Pesach, and we know Shavuot.
One of the things that's amazing about Miri is that he overlooks the halachic literature that developed up until then, and he went straight back to the Tanakh and made this...
Well, he's trying to understand Mishnah Dalit.
Uh-huh.
And just like the Rambam, so the Meiri, they separate Mishnah Dalit from Mishnah Tet. Mishnah Dalit is its own separate thing. It's not based on the Drashot and Mishnah Tet.
Mm-hmm.
It's its own separate matter. But it should be... No, I'm sorry. It's more complicated than that. Rambam separated the matter of all the Chodeshim we violate, separated that from the Mishnah Tet. The Miri goes even further. He says that the fact we violate on only 2 months, according to Mishnah Dalet, when there's no Mikdash, that's also not from the Drasha. It's its own separate entity completely.
Yeah.
But then you ask yourself the following question. If according to the Meiri, we violate for these 2 months, Tishrei Nisan, not because of the Drasha, because of its own separate reason, and I guess he'd say like the Rambam, we violate when there's a Mikdash for the Korban,
yep.
the reason the Rambam gave, and what do you need the Drasha in Mishnah Tet for at all? You've covered everything. You hear what I'm saying? The Rambam said that Drasha and Mishnah Tet refer to the 2 months that are found in Mishnah Dalet. But according to the Miri, the 2 months in Mishnah Dalet have their own separate Drasha, Kazerei v'Kadesh. So what do you, and the Korban is its own separate logic of violating for every month. So what do you need the Drasha and Mishnah Tet for? And indeed, we'll see the Miri gives a completely different interpretation to the Drasha and Mishnah Tet. There's nothing with anything we've been talking about.
Is this based on at all in Shnei Ketuvim Baim Kechad or something like you can't have...
Of course, you don't need the Drasha now according to the Miri, so that has to mean something else. So what does the Miri say? Hai Mishnah Shminit. Mi Shara'at HaChodesh Bechulei. Someone who saw the month. Kavanat Mishnah Leva'er Al Mashamanu Al Shnei Chodeshim Mechalin at Shabbat. See, first he says, this matter that it says in Mishnah Tet, you violate Shabbat, it's only 2 months. Like I said in Mishnah Dalet. Al Malach Lai Leva'yom Hu Shemechalin Klomar. Im Afshalem Lagila Beitin Beyom Shabbat, Kodim Shetech Shak. V'yishaut b'yom kedei lekadsho, kagon shira'u b'kenisat leil shloshim, b'hu shabbat, v'hem krovim malak laila v'yom, mechalim ba'im. V'lim hem rechokim kol kach shelo yagiu l'sham b'yom shabbat, lo yichalu.
Can I interrupt for a second?
So all that is just background. Yes,
okay.
All that's just background. He just explains what we know in the Mishnah. But now look at the last word of line 4. Shaharei Ein edutam mo'il lekadesh et ashay et yom haShabbat shafilu bala ba'o v'lo ispiku lomar mikudash ad shachashcha ein haChodesh mitkadesh ad shloshim v'chad mo'il v'chol mash ken. In other words, he says clearly that edut that comes after the 30th is finished, lo mo'il, has no effect. There's no such thing as retroactive.
Would it be after the 29th is finished?
No.
Because if it's after...
30. The 30th is the day that we have to come and say it's not the 30th, it's the 1st.
Okay.
And if no one comes that day... So that's okay. One issue, but that's not our main issue. But now the main thing. V'chein ma tzorech lechidulam. Like you said, why should you need them to violate Shabbat if... their edut won't be accepted anyway. Shneamar Eila Moedei Hashem. Klomar Shadavar Talui V'Kiddush Beitin V'Lo B'Ri'ya. That's all. He says that this drasha
Ela Muaday Hashem Asher Tikro Otam, that you should call them. All it comes to tell you is that the calling makes Rosh Chodesh and not the
sighting.
Seeing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And if the calling makes Rosh Chodesh, claims the Meiri, that means that they have to call on that day.
Yes.
And calling after that day has no effect. Against the Rambam, obviously.
Uh-huh.
This is not a drasha. Here's the point. I know this is confusing, but I have a good way of saying it. This drasha, according to the Miri, does not come to allow Chilul Shabbat ever. It comes rather to limit Chilul Shabbat. According to everything we learned until now, Rashi, Ritva, Rambam, the drasha comes to allow Chilul Shabbat. According to the Miri, we don't need the drasha to allow Chilul Shabbat. We have other reasons for the Chilul Shabbat. Kazerei v'kadesh. Because Miri, the drasha comes to limit the Chilul that's already allowed from a different source. And it comes to say, the Chilul is only when the Edut will be Mo'il to have an effect. And that it only is Malach Laila v'yom. Extremely, extremely fascinating, in my humble opinion.
A lot of these distinctions are fine distinctions. Because they're not all. It's not explicit that they're all coming to answer the same question. We kind of have to deduce that.
That's why learning Gemara is so complicated.
Right.
It could take hours to figure out just what the question is. What are the assumptions? Like what's behind it? You have to learn the source 100 times to develop a paradigm to fit them into, fit the commentators into.
Yeah.
That's why I've been thinking about this for weeks. And I really only on Shabbat that I finally understand the wide variety of approaches here. There's a lot going on. So we've touched the surface, and I guess we should leave it at that. Can't make it more complicated. Okay, so I'll turn this thing off.